Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Folks, we got a wonderful show tonight. Kak is back, and this time she's talking about her latest book, The Art of Healing with Crystals. And of course, I'm talking about Kak Young. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a little bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choice is the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. Find out more about me and the services I offer by going to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, on my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. Okay, so Kak is back, and she's formerly a producer and director in the TV industries, and she, while working there, observed the harmful effects of stress and unhealthy working conditions. She has earned a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy, a doctorate in natural healing, and the title of naturopathic doctor as a third credential. So she doesn't like learning at all, folks. She studied health, healing, and biofeedback, past life regression, Bach flowers, Chinese medicine, and she's traveled all over the world and studied with numerous teachers, respectful healers and teachers, to gain that information to help us today. Today she runs a private practice where she consults with people who want to change their lifestyle, prolong their lives, and use as many natural products as possible. And she can help people with weight loss, smoking, addiction therapy. She can help you with anything that's going on as long as you're truly ready to let it go. And you can find out more about her by visiting her website, and that is kakyoung.com. I'll spell that for you, kakyoung.com. Welcome back, Kak.
Thank you, Monique. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's just wonderful and a great energy to be on the air with you. You are a tremendous force for the good.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I absolutely love your, was this your 16th book, The Art of Healing with Crystals?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, you know, I was sharing with you before the show that as I was reading this book, and I've read all of your other ones, that the information that you're reading, if you've read her other books, it kind of sinks really deep into your soul, into your psyche, and it brings it all together. How were you able to do this?
Well, I think I have followed a path. I've got the same kind of throat problem you have this morning. Must be the marine layer. I've just recently discovered a kind of a duh about my life and work. I've learned about various different healing modalities all of my life. I've been a curious seeker of why things work, how things heal, and how we can effectuate that in our lives. And then I just realized the other day, well, what I've really, really, truly been studying is the whole subject of energetic and vibrational healing. healing in different forms. So in studying and writing a book about essential oils and Bach flowers and crystals and all the other books that I've written, it's all about how we harness energy that's out there for us and how we bring that down and personalize it so we can use that energy to heal ourselves emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So it's available to us, and these things, these modalities, these ways are just the keys to opening the lock of our own personal healing and growth. So I've become, oh yeah, okay, so that's what I do, and here are the ways that it shows up and manifests so I can teach other people how it works. And then people can pick from which one they want. What works for me? Does the lunar energy work for me? Does the solar energy work for me? Et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I'm kind of on fire these days, is about spreading that word and talking about energy healing. And certainly crystals are just the most dynamic example of that.
Yes, they are. So with all of the other subjects that you have studied and that you teach and you work with, what led you to write a book about crystals?
Early on in the 80s, I worked with a gentleman, or I studied under a gentleman, Frank Alper, and he had been a scientist with IBM. So he knew crystals and crystal energy from the scientific and the, business application of them. They manufacture things, they use them in sound recordings, they use them in computers. So his knowledge of crystals led him from business life and the mundane, if you will, into metaphysics. And he began to see the application of crystal energy just beyond using it as a transfer or a transponder. And he began to use them for healing purposes. And he came up with amazing ways to do that. Well, one of the weekends that I spent in his seminars, he implanted healing crystals in our hands and feet, mind, soul, and body. And he did that, of course, symbolically. Mm-hmm. But it changed the way I functioned. I was able to tune in to the thing that gives me power in the cosmos. And then the healing became something that I took seriously. Mm-hmm. So as I was able to heal myself, I also began to work with clients, and I collected crystals that spoke to me. So in working with the energy, I must say, Monique, they educated me. The way the energy flows, the way they heal, and you're just led intuitively to work with them when you consider them as your partner. Mm-hmm. And so I began to say, okay, well, crystals are alive. They breathe, at least for me, they breathe, and they vibrate. So if they have these three qualities, I realized that they are truly alive, just like everything in our universe is alive. I mean, a fork is even alive because it is composed of atoms and a structure that is constantly moving and changing, and yet the consciousness of the fork keeps it in its form. Otherwise, you just have random atoms flying around. And so I began to study energy then, chi, mana, pneuma, the ka, even the su called it wakan. And I began to study the effect of energy between the mineral kingdom, i.e. crystals and gemstones, and ourselves. So one day I was looking at one of my crystals and I said, I know what you are. You are suspended breath. Something took a breath, and it crystallized and capsulized it at that point. And that's one of the powers of crystal, is its memory. It has solid earth vibrational memory from the time that it went from being a liquid to a solid. And that really changed my relationship to the crystals, because... Well, I don't know. I saw them as persons. They became not the crystals what, but the crystals who.
Okay, so based on what you're saying, it sounds like you're saying that crystals have an intelligent base.
They do. They have an atomic structure, and then they have an intellectual structure that makes them have an intelligence to be. The intelligence causes them to be what they are, i.e. mm-hmm. a crystal. Now, and that works for us because the crystal doesn't have a mind of its own, but it has intelligence. And so when we come in with our minds and our intention, we can direct the vibration, the aliveness, and the intelligence of the crystal to function for us and with us in the way that we design. And therein lies the power of our interaction with the crystal world.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Kath Young. This book that we're talking about tonight is The Art of Healing with Crystals. It's available everywhere. If you're enjoying our conversation, please go out and get the book because it's chocked full of information that is going to help you heal. And it's like all the work you have to do is go buy the crystal and, you know, cleanse it, program it, and put it on. So, Kath, talking about buying, programming, and putting it on, how does one buy a crystal? Can you just, like, go online and say, oh, that's pretty, and buy it, and it's going to resonate with you?
Well, you certainly can buy a crystal for its beauty, and you certainly can do that, and you can look at it, and that's nice. It's still going to interact with you whether you recognize that or not. But mm-hmm. I always recommend that you take an afternoon and in your town or, you know, wherever you live, just make sure you know several metaphysical stores or gem and rocks stores that carry crystals, and then go out and feel them, put them in your hands, and don't just put it in your right hand or your left hand. Have a little time in your right and a little time in your left, and see if you can tune into, see if it speaks to you in any way. Can you feel mm-hmm. it? And then take a few moments to do that. Don't be chatting around with people you're shopping with. Mm-hmm. Take a few internal moments, and then if that crystal speaks to you, just make a note of it. Now go to the next store and test out those crystals. And you never know. I mean, you might respond and react to an amethyst or to a citrine or to another type of crystal rather than just a pure rock quartz crystal. You don't know what you're going to respond to. But okay. Test them out, and then go have a cup of tea, and then decide, and then pick one, and work with the one crystal first. Get to know it, give it a name, become a friend. I mean, I talk to my crystals because I know they're alive, and mm-hmm. so I speak with them. I tell them good morning. I do all kinds of things with them. I have certain crystals that I put away that are only for my healing, and I keep them preserved so that I can bring them out, change the energy, purify them, and use them for sacred work. Mm-hmm. So, but your crystal is going to be part of your life. You're going to interact with it, or at least I hope you would, because that's the richness of the friendship with a crystal. And that's how it will help you heal, and that's how you can direct it. So when you pick your crystal, sit with it. Don't just say, oh, isn't that cute, and put it on a shelf, la-di-da, and then dust it every now and then. No, if you're going to buy it, understand that it has a life too, and you two have chosen each other. So talk to it. Bring it around. Sometimes I'll take a new crystal, and I'll move it to different rooms in the house to let it really get the whole vibration of the home, mm-hmm. and then it'll decide where it wants to sit. I mean, I've even had crystals. Well, I in the book I talked about Gatinha, this new crystal I bought just about a year ago, and it's decided that it was going to be named after the Brazilian name of cat. It has kind of a cat shape in it, and I moved it around the house, and it now sits in in the rooms where the cats frequent, and it keeps the peace of all things. Okay. I never bought this crystal to keep the peace between cats, but it does, and it's hilarious, and because of, you know, Q&A between me and it, we figured out what its purpose was, and now it just happily sits there and picks up the sun and the cats are calmer when they're around this crystal. You know, that I don't know. That's mysterious, but it works.
Okay. Now, so you're in the crystal store and you found that, you know, crystal that you like, or the gemstone store, and you find the one that you like and you get it home. Do you need to do anything with it before you just set it out? I mean, do you need to cleanse it or...
Well, yeah, there are several different ways of cleansing a crystal. You can certainly, I like to use natural products. Now, because I use crystals in my healing work, I have different kinds of towels and different kinds of fabric that I clean them with. But you can simply run it under some tepid water in your sink. You can wash it with a little organic soap. You can put it in the sun, allow it to soak up the solar energy. You can put it in the moonlight and allow it to soak up lunar rays. You can cleanse it with sound. You can smudge it. You can just, you know, you can put it under your pillow if you want to. I would do that later because if you don't know your crystal well enough, you don't know where it's from. So you want to get to know it and program it before you start playing with your dream cycle. But you can cleanse it in many different ways. Just don't use harsh chemicals on it or be rough with it. Be gentle with your crystal. And then once you've cleansed it, it's ready for programming. And that, in the book, I have a whole ritual of how you begin to program your crystal and get it on your wavelength, if you will. And you do that using affirmative statements. Everything in the mineral world responds to positive statements, because everything in that mineral world was created for the purpose of good and healing. So if you speak with affirmative statements and things as if they've already been accomplished, then your crystal knows where to go and where to send that energy. You know, chemically, it has the strongest, most equally balanced structure in the world, atomically speaking. So that's why it's used as a conductor of energy, of heat, and it also is piezoelectric, which means it can generate its own energy if struck. So the crystal itself has all the scientific properties to work this way. This isn't just some made-up woo-woo thing. This is hard science. That's how we can put it together for ourselves and really use it to change our lives, to alter our path, to help us heal from a loss, to create a new beginning, to embark on a new type of study, to get over or under anything that is bothering us. That's how we can use this crystal energy, by making friends with it and then by directing it and tell it what to do. And then its whole purpose is to obey. It's like...
be of service.
Yeah, that's its purpose. That's what it does.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because people, they kind of sometimes look down their nose at crystals today. But, I mean, from the beginning of time, crystals were utilized. I mean, the emperors had them in their breastplates. The women would have them, you know, adorned on, you know, the third eye or in the crown. And there was a reason behind it. I mean, lapis is a stone that has been used throughout the centuries by the rich. Okay. Why is it that today, with all of our modern technology, I mean, if you are sitting by a computer or using a computer, guess what? There's crystals in there. Why is it that we're so hesitant today to go back and rediscover crystals and how they can help us?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? That's exactly the point. What we have not learned from the ancient societies is their respect of the earth and their understanding of energy and magnetism from a completely different point of view. It was like second nature to them to be part of the cosmos. They lived by the sun and the moon. And even the ancient Egyptians, when you really study it, you'll find that the top of the pyramid pyramid was all crystal, and the pyramid itself, the Great Pyramid in Giza, was basically watertight. You mm-hmm. can't get a razor blade through the outside stones. They were hewn to fit so exactly. And therefore, the pyramids were not burial chambers at all. They were used as generators of energy. So they were filled with water. And even to this day, there's water, a water table running under the pyramid and the Sphinx, which is, you know, scientifically proven. Mm-hmm. And they filled the pyramids with water, and they used the energy that was generated between the cosmos and some rods, and they were able to have lights when the moon was not out. I mean, you were kind of dead for half the month at night when there was no moonlight in the sky, when the moon was, you know, waning and waxing at the end of its cycle. You didn't have moonlight, so they created their own light. Now, the Egyptians also discovered that the original jewelry, the original earrings and necklaces were all used for healing chakra points and reflex points. They were put on the body as a healing stone designed to do something that would promote healing in the body. So they weren't adornments. They weren't, mm-hmm. oh, look how much money I've got, or, you know, oh, look, I was just proposed to. No, no, no. The jewels back then in the ancient world were all about healing and keeping one strong, mm-hmm. focused against one's enemy, and whole and healed. That's how that originated. In fact, the original makeup came from ground lapis and ground malachite, and that became the eyeshadow. So mm-hmm. they didn't fool around. They were very much more in tune with the mineral kingdom. And so now we have the opportunity to look back and say, what was happening in their world that isn't happening in ours? Why are we so cut off and distanced from the cosmic world and the mineral and gemstone world? What's wrong with us? Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Yeah, well, we have had people come in and they just want to take over and they want to control and they don't want to share all the information. So if they can keep us from having full disclosure or full information, then they get to rule the world and we get to suffer. And that's not really a good way to live. So say you get your crystal, and it's not one that you would place, it's one that you could wear, and say it's a necklace, and you put the necklace on. How does the energy of the crystal integrate with our meridians and our chakras to either heal us or just to keep us balanced? How does that happen? Because it's just,
well,
a stone.
Any way we want, basically. Any way we want. We get to choose. First of all, if you get a necklace, you uh-huh. would want to cleanse it. You'd want to wash it. You'd want to cleanse it. You'd want to sit with it and have a few moments with it, determining, and you would ask it questions. You know, what is your purpose? What do you want to do? Where have you come from? And it, you know, depending on your own intuitive depth, it may or may not speak to you, but hopefully it will, and mm-hmm. you'll be open to that fact. Then what you want to do is give it a purpose. Do you want it to keep you calm? Do you want it to keep you emotionally balanced? Then tell it that. You know, your job is to retain balance no matter what happens. Absorb the energies and keep me balanced. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. If you want to heal something, then you tell it that's its job. And, you know, you don't order it around. You just say, okay, I've designed, you know, my life around you, and I want you to do this for me. Okay. And then it will keep that balance. It will do that. And then you would take it off every now and then and cleanse it in case it's picked up something from someone else or even yourself. Cleanse it, purify it, start at square one, and then rebuild. So whatever you purpose it to do, it does.
Okay. Now, say you put it on, and do you get a tingling feeling? I mean, how do you know it's working?
Well, you could. All of those things are possible. It depends on your own sensitivity and your own openness. So you might be able to feel the difference of when it's on and when it's off. If you're all in your mind and all busy, 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 I think the yogis call it monkey mind. If it's all chitter chatter going on, then you're not going to pay attention to what's happening in your conglomerate of your body, mind, and soul. So you need to bring your vibration down into the feeling sentient world, and then you'll be able to relate to the crystal a lot more. Again, it's not mental. It is totally on the intuitive level. So you would know if it's working by the results. Okay. Do you feel better when you're wearing it? Is it helping you balance things? Are you blaming it? You never blame your crystal. You never yell at your crystal. You wouldn't say, hey, you're not doing the job. Wait a minute. You know, you never curse out your crystal.
It'll say, I'm not going to work with you.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe it'll say, well, I'm just going to move on. You know, I'm leaving you. So I'm kidding. I'm jesting. But, yeah, you know, you need to treat it as if you wanted to be treated. It's the golden rule with your crystal. So, and it can help you, you know, and then some days are going to be better than others. Mm-hmm. Things are going to work out for you, things are not. But you and your crystal are pals, and that is whether you wear it or not. And I would give it a break as well. I would take it off, and I would, you know, watch it. Sometimes I put my crystals, I have a big cluster of crystals, and sometimes I put my other smaller crystals or ones that I wear on that crystal cluster, and I let it charge up. I let it have a kind of a little vacation and go talk to its friends, and then I'll bring it back into my vibration after that. So, you know, I mean, it's not a full-time job. I don't spend a day and night working with my crystals, but I do give them some time and definitely consideration.
Yes, definitely consideration, because as we discussed earlier, they are intelligent, so you don't want to completely, you know, just ignore them and, you know, not pay attention, because then it's like an animal that you ignore. It all of a sudden goes and sits in the corner, and there's no life, you know. They're not living, they're not playing, they're not enjoying you, and the same thing with a crystal. Well, folks, we're speaking with Kak Young, and she's the author of The Art of Healing with Crystals. It's available everywhere. If you like our conversation, do consider to go out and get it, and you can check her out on her website, and that is kakyoung.com, kakyoung.com. So, Kak, let's talk about size. Does size matter?
Does size matter? Well, it depends. Again, we're working on the intuitive level, okay? We're working on this energetic vibrational level. So maybe you're the kind of person that needs a powerful, large crystal. And maybe you want something small. Now, I don't recommend little teeny itty-bitty crystals that are like an inch, you know, by a quarter of an inch. I don't think, I mean, yes, they do things, but they're not going to amplify what you really want to do. You want a crystal that if you hold on to it, you know it's in your hand. Mm-hmm. And I have sitting on my coffee table a huge kind of a chalice, a big, I don't know, some people put fruit in it, some people, it's a big bowl, and that's filled with crystals that I've collected all over the world, and they are so happy. I remember the day I got this idea, well, why don't I just put my crystals in there, and it changed the whole feeling of the room. People walk into that room, and they are, why do I feel good in this room? It's just amazing. And then I have larger crystals that are 12, 14, 16 inches tall, in that room, and those are my powerful protectors. Those are, you know, those are my guys. Those are my buddies, and I think that the big ones I don't handle very much. They're just there. I speak to them, I clean them, but the ones I use with sort of fit in my hand, like the size of a Mars bar, you know, that those are the kind of crystals that I like to have in my healing work, and then ones that I carry are smaller. Sometimes it just depends on where I'm going or what I'm doing. I have different crystals that do different things for me. If I'm going to a meeting and I'm going to pitch a television show, then I'll take, you know, Mr. Pitch Crystal with me, and he's like, yeah, baby, let's go for this. We've got the energy. And then if I'm going to speak to a group of people about something spiritual, I'll take another crystal with me. I'll take one of my amethysts. I'll take one of my healing crystals with me. And I have a very – now, I don't want people to think that I give my power away. I do not. The crystal and me, we work together. And I know that it's picking up and helping me do my job, because that's what I always ask my crystals to do. Help me be the best person I can be and do the job, and let me get out of my own way so I can concentrate on the needs of others. That's what I have my crystals do. You know, it's sort of like, you know, just swallow my ego for me so I don't have to deal with it, and let me just give the people what they need to hear. So that is how I purpose some of them. And if you, it depends on, again, on when you go on your shopping trip, what crystal feels best in your hand? Are you intimidated by a larger crystal? Do you connect with a smaller one? You know, what is it about them that you like, and vice versa? What crystal is speaking to you? So I think it's just a matter of taste.
Okay, and we can go with that. Now, in your book, you talk about the seven crystal systems. What are they?
Oh, the seven crystal systems? You mean the
I forget the names.
The platonic shapes? So you talk about the platonic. Mm-hmm. Well, those are, well, I think they are, they come from sacred geometry.
Okay.
And these shapes were discovered, or really, you know, they were revealed to Plato, and he shaped them out, and they're the dodecahedron and the hexagon and the triangle, and they all had they were all vibrational entities that contained not only the lines, but they contained the form and shape of the universe. Mm-hmm. So when you apply those to crystal shapes, you will see that they have many facets, many faces, many of those shapes. And so you can look into the deeper power in sacred geometry if you want to, if that interests you. You can see what each shape really represents. Over the years, you know how homeopathy was discovered. It was physicians in Germany that trial and error with various different substances, and they recorded the reactions. And so now they've come up with a list of questions that they ask the patient about, is it hot, cold, wet, dry, how do you feel? And they determine which remedy to give them based on the answers. So it was a trial and error thing, as the same with crystals, because when people say, well, what does this shape do, or what does that shape do? Again, it's been trial and error for centuries, and there is a common belief now, which I mention in my book. I show you the different shapes and what they can do. Some crystals are generator crystals. Some crystals are healer crystals. Some crystals are story crystals. Those are some of my favorites because they contain a lot of ancient wisdom. And some are channeling. Some of them are dolphin crystals, which if you're a healer, you can use them anytime you work with, like, mother and child, or just a person and their inner child. So there's lots of different crystals that have exuded over time a particular kind of healing that is recognized, you know, by the general public. It's become, the general public of crystal users. And so there's kind of like a congruence and an agreement on what these shapes do. And they're pretty true. I mean, you know, it is really true. If you want to use a crystal for channeling or for wisdom or for, there's a window crystal that gets you into the other psychic realms, mm-hmm. They work. They just absolutely can work that way. That doesn't mean that one without that shape won't do the same thing, but pretty much you can depend on one with these given shapes to work for you in that area.
Okay, so folks, you know, it really does work. For the longest time, I was not attuned to crystals at all, and then I met someone who was very much into crystals, and they talked about, you know, how they helped them, and so I decided at that point to explore a little bit, and now I've got crystals all over my house. Okay, because they do work, they will help you, and it's a very soft, if you will, to me, a soft energetic boost, but they do help. Now, Kat, how do crystals help heal karma?
Well, if you are a therapist and you are working with someone who, there are basically 12 laws of karma that I utilize, and I ask people to respond to the various different questions about karma, and then whatever they need to heal, whether it's their heart or their soul or whatever is happening emotionally to them, I will use the opposite crystal. I will balance them. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, how my crystal training or my crystal work differs from other people. Some people will put a turquoise on your throat chakra. They will put a green aventurine or jade on your heart chakra. I do the opposite. I use the opposite things to balance. You don't change the oil in the car. That's the same energy if you use the same type of crystal. Now, because that's not going to balance anything. That's not going to do anything. It's just, you know, more of the same. So if you change the way you work with crystals and use the opposite to balance that person in that chakra, then that's going to work. And I know I veered away from karmic healing, but it's the same way. Whatever the person needs, I give them in the form of supported crystals and supported crystal work. And that could be simply in meditation, and I have them hold it, and we work through that. Obviously, what we want to do is get rid of the pain, excise the pain, and import the pleasure or the happiness. And mm-hmm. that's what I do by using the crystal energies, because I ask them to help me do this. And that's what they do. They bring this into the person. Sometimes the person accepts it immediately. Other times it takes a while for the person to accept this new energy and to make a place for it in their psyche. But when they do and it settles down, it's a very powerful change. I once worked with a man who abused his wife, and he had a restraining order, and they were on the verge of divorce. And he was very angry, and he was very hostile, and he thought that he owned his wife. And he, mm-hmm. so, you know, this was a tough one for me, because I had to make sure that I stayed neutral. So, you know, talk about the preparation I needed to do to be a light when he walked into my office. Mm-hmm. And it took us 6 weeks, but we were able to counteract that dark energy, that anger, that rage. We were able to work on that root chakra. And, of course, it wasn't about his wife. It was all about childhood and things that he'd felt in the past. When we were able to release those demons, mm-hmm. and I swear I saw the dark energy leave. I swear saw this cloud of black leave, you know. Mm-hmm. When we were able to excise that, then we had a couple of sessions where we kind of smoothed it out like the frosting on a cake, you know. We mm-hmm. smoothed out his emotions. We smoothed out that. I balanced and balanced and balanced him so that he had a constant flow of energy. Well, he was able to heal himself to the degree that he went back to court and he asked for a second chance. And, you know, I wrote a letter to the judge that said, mm-hmm. here's what I think, here's what I witnessed, and yeah, I think it's worth a second chance. And so they're still married. I mean, he was wow. able to do this work, and I'm still astonished. I mean, talk about, you know, my belief in superpowers. Mm-hmm. That's it, because, it, you know, I was only the channel, and I just happened to work with the energies that needed to be released. So I was just the vessel. And that was my pleasure to do, because two people get to experience love now, so our world is a better place.
Yes, it is. Oh, wow, what a beautiful story. Now, what about color? Does the color matter? I've been told that if you utilize a clear crystal, like clear quartz, you shouldn't have that around someone who has cancer, because it will accelerate the cancer.
Well, again, it depends on what you tell it. It's, okay. If you tell it, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to help excise that cancer. You need to bring out that raging fire out of the person and mm-hmm. transmit it. It can transform the energy within the crystal and send it elsewhere. So it's a big job. Now, I would use a larger crystal for this. If I were working with someone who had cancer, I would definitely use a larger crystal, because it's handling a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, red hot, angry cellular atomic stuff and aggressive. So you'd want to transmute that and send it off and change it so that the energy could go back out into the world as a positive healer, not a destroyer. Mm-hmm. So, and with cancer people, it depends. You have to see what's the root of their pain, what's the root of going on for them. You know, it's all individualized. And then I would select various different things. I mean, amethyst is a healer, both, you know, body, mind, and soul. Mm-hmm. And so I would always employ an amethyst. If I needed success or abundance in my life, I'd pull out my citrines and I'd use them. A citrine, by the way, never needs to be cleansed. That and kyanite are the two stones that you don't mm-hmm. have to cleanse. They cleanse themselves. Mm-hmm. If I wanted love in my life, or I wanted to be more loving, or have some, I would bring out rose quartz. If I needed clarity, or if I wanted to find purpose in my life, I'd pull out my fluorite. Black tourmaline is grounding, and it brings protection and stability. So if I'm feeling wishy-washy, then I'm going to need black tourmaline to ground me. Jade helps with love and balance and heart. In fact, I love the name of jade. It was originally Piedra de Hiada, I think I'm saying that right, which meant stone of the side, and it was used to clear up kidney and liver problems.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was originally discovered in Central America. So that's how it got its name. And then you'd think, well, wait a minute, but the Chinese used it. And, you know, yes, but they always used their addressed it as yu, meaning heavenly stone. And it was, jade symbolizes goodness plus abundance, but it's a wonderful stone for them. Anyway, I got sidetracked. You know, if I needed protection, then I would use turquoise or carnelian. And if I needed courage, I would use red jasper. There's different types of stones. If I wanted inner truth, I would look for lapis. I would wear lapis. Mm-hmm. And each one of them has, again, been trial and error with a lot of people, a lot of metaphysicians over the centuries, and this is what we've come to, what they mostly do with intuitives and psychics and people who can really tune into that world. I know I use selenite a lot when I need an angel or I want to, it's full of lunar energy, so I want to bring in a softness or that yin energy into my life. I'll pull out selenite.
Yeah, I've got three pieces sitting in my office. It's interesting because they're in three of the four corners. That's interesting. I just noticed that. But anyway, they're in three of the four corners. What about using the crystals with our little fur babies that we have? Would that help them?
Well, it does. You know, now remember, they're very powerful and they have an energy of their own, so you would need to, well, you know, I have, you know, several cats, and if I leave my crystals out, my healing crystals out, I will have a cat napping on them within minutes. They love the crystals, and I will use them if the cats have an ailment or if they have a cold. I'll create a little circle. But the energy I need to mitigate. I need to change it and regulate it because I don't want it to be too powerful and blow them away. Animals are very sensitive to the vibrations of crystals, very sensitive. And you can use them, but you want to make sure that you and the crystal are attuned to really gentle, softer energy because the pet can't take it. I've worked with horses and crystals before, and it's been amazing. You know, I think they would prefer a crystal to a carrot some days just because the energy feels so good to them. And sometimes, you know, when you get acupuncture, the very tip of those needles are crystal points.
Wow. Yeah, I can't go down that road. I've got this thing with needles, but I hear you. Hey, we all have our stuff to work through.
Yes.
Oh,
we do. We won't use the needle word.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all, but not for me anyway. We are almost at the end of our time. What pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with the audience regarding crystals and how they can help us?
Well, I would like to encourage people, read my book, understand about crystals. Don't be afraid of them. Don't judge them. Go out and explore the crystal world for yourself. There is richness to be had. There's balance to be had. There's just beautiful exchanges. And I really want people to understand that this isn't some woo-woo kind of a thing. This is real. Generations before us have used the energy in crystals to heal themselves and others. And I just think that they are the foundation of every civilization that has come before us. And please take a moment, get to know the crystal world, and change your life vibrationally for the better.
All right. Well, folks, we've been speaking with Kak Young. Her book is The Art of Healing with Crystals. You can check her out at kakyoung.com. That's kakyoung.com. The book is available everywhere. If you're interested in crystals, this is definitely a book to have on your shelf. It's not the usual crystal book, okay? It's different, and it allows you to think. She even incorporates astrology into it and what stones go with, you know, certain zodiac signs. So, you know, do yourself a favor. Educate yourself, okay? Because it's all about us taking power for our lives right now. But to Kak and the audience, I really appreciate your time. Today, as we collectively get over it, the divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations are 10% off if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057, and the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of healing with crystals. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.